Would like to just direct you to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. We, 2 weeks ago, got about halfway through these verses, and I wanted to return to those. We technically ended our 50-day emphasis on prayer, but there was half of the idea that I was able to get to on that day, and so I'd like to return to that. We're going to take a look at the idea about prayer, how it sustains our lives and mission. The first part was how it sustains our lives, and then secondly, we'll look at more today, our mission. The passage reads this way, and you can read along with me if you will. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's take a look at where we have been. We look first at the idea that prayer is that which sustains our life in Christ. It says, devote yourselves in prayer. Secondly, we learned there, it's also how we maintain our life in prayer. It says, be watchful. The idea is to stay awake in prayer. The writer speaks to a group of people who were in danger of losing the grace, losing the idea of grace in terms of their in terms of their spiritual heritage. But it goes much further than that. We need to be watchful in prayer for the care of our own souls, for God's provision in our life. We need to be watchful in prayer because it's through prayer God's wisdom is infused into our lives. We need to be watchful in prayer because God has made us for excellent and good things. God is calling us forward. These are the things that are addressed in the area of how we maintain our life in Christ. We were to be watchful and thankful, and we've heard that encouragement this morning, to be thankful. Because without it, we can stagnate in our lives. We could grow blind to what God is doing in our lives and ultimately forget God. So that's the cautions. There are some opportunities that can be ours too. Blessings. Thankfulness deepens our relationship with God. It actually feeds our souls. Without thankfulness, we go dry. With thankfulness, we are in contact with God about the things that God is bringing into our lives and giving back our love to Him. It also sharpens our vision to help us see what God is doing in our lives. So those are some things that we looked at before. I'd like to look primarily at the idea of prayer as that which sustains our mission. And let's go back again to that opening phrase in verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Now, sometimes I think we have the idea that evangelism is something that the Billy Grahams of the world do. That evangelism looks like that. Or an evangelist is a person who seemingly just, plows into conversations and is able somehow to present the gospel so that people respond. I'd like to talk about evangelism for the rest of us, okay? Because it means this sharing of good news, to tell good news, the good news that you've experienced in Christ yourself. And I think something that we need to remember, which is in this verse, is that it's God that opens the doors. It's God that makes something happen. Sharing our hope in Christ in such a way that people sense the relevancy of it and decide, I want Christ for me, is a God thing. So when we begin thinking about evangelism for the rest of us, we can relax and trust that it's God who opens the doors. The Apostle Paul, who you might think, well, I think probably he represents what might be the premier evangelist, says, pray for me. Pray for me. That God would open the door of opportunity. And that's what we need to pray for each other. It's something, I think, that is our privilege to pray for effectiveness, our privilege and responsibility for each other. Where you are, I cannot be. I cannot influence as you can those that God has brought into your life. You're uniquely positioned by God to share your hope in Him. And there is one thing I can do, is I can pray for doors of opportunity to be opened to you in your life. That is something we can do for each other and need to do for each other. So that's the first thing, to pray for effectiveness. He's asking them to pray that God would open the door of our message, it reads, or literally the door of the word about Christ. Such opportunities existed even for him, even in prison. He tells the Philippians, and he tells others, that his imprisonment helped him. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He's writing this in jail. It's remarkable. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Wow. If anyone thought, my circumstances are so limited, the pressures of my circumstances are so limited, that I really don't see too many opportunities to share my faith, it would have been him at that time. I'm in prison, stuck in prison. The only time I see somebody, it's when the guards come through. But he doesn't see it that way. He sees it as his opportunity to share his hope in Christ. He doesn't fear imprisonment, though the possibility of deliverance is important to him. He knows that that could open up unrestricted mission opportunities. His request could be parallel to the one in 2 Thessalonians 3. Verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith." God answered the prayer perhaps differently from what Paul expected. The letters he wrote from prison, and they are sacred scripture. And they have kindled countless fires in the hearts of God's people to be his faithful witnesses. So prayer helps us. It's our mutual privilege and responsibility. Prayer is also about effectiveness. Effectiveness about priority issues. He says, "Pray for me that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." So amazing what he's asking for. The mystery of Christ was something that I guess you could explain it this way. There were hints about the coming of Christ in the Old Testament. God's mouthpieces, the prophets, would speak at this, and they would come in hints and ideas about what the Messiah, a suffering servant, would look like. And then when Christ came on the scene, the mystery was made visible. And not only that, but the mystery expanded. In the book of Acts, we learn that Christ not only came for his chosen people, Jews, but also for the whole Gentile world as well. Anyone who could trust, who decided to trust in him, received the grace of God immediately and were born into God's family. So the mystery of Christ is, it wasn't just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. Something that was unclear at one point became crystal clear at another. And he's praying for opportunities. He wants to share the mystery of Christ. Why? Because it's a priority issue. It's a central issue to our faith. If you want to know how to pray for me, here's how I'd like you to pray for me. Right there. You can pray for me just like that. I want you to pray that God would open doors into my life, that God would provide the words. I had such an occasion just this morning, coming here. It was just great. In a few moments, I was sharing with a person about my hope in Christ. I didn't have to force my way into the conversation. It was a door God opened. This is how you can pray for me. I implore you to pray for me this way, that he would so work in my life that I would see the opportunities that he's placing in front of me, that he would help me communicate my hope in Christ simply and concisely so that people would understand, that God would open up people's hearts to his great love for him. And I will be praying for you for opportunities to do the same, to share your hope in Christ. We can be praying for each other. God would give us opportunities to serve him in making God's great love known. Now, the idea of that may scare some of us to death. Again, I want to suggest this. We're getting help and tools here so that the rest of us can bear witness to Christ. Please leave all the caricatures you have about what it means to be an evangelist someplace else, and just listen for the message here. God opens the doors. And we can pray for effectiveness. Our effectiveness is as a result of prayer as well. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That I may proclaim it clearly. That when I'm talking, what I'm saying is intelligible. It has to do with making my hope in Christ available to people in ways that are appropriate to them. I'd like to just illustrate this way. G-U-I, and it is pronounced gooey. Does anybody here know what gooey is? I'm guessing some do. Would anyone like to explain gooey? Just for the moment. This is an interactive message here. Anybody want to take a chance here? You know what?
It's like sticky, like Play-Doh, whatever.
Ah, that's what we, yeah. Somebody else have an idea? Okay, we have an idea over here. Gooey. It's not gum on the bottom of your shoe.
GUI stands for Graphical User Interface. You want me to go further?
Please.
Okay, so it allows you to interact with the machine visually and in a sense that's almost tactile, that you can touch, you can move, you can see what you want and click on it and have something happen.
The picture there of a Windows computer screen illustrates what he's talking about. If you click on those little icons, you're interacting with the rest of the computer through an interface. Now, here's my idea, my thought, that A GUI, graphical user interface, is like our relationship with God. God, through his word, speaks to his people, and he changes our lives. And our job is to be an interface between what we've heard and experienced of God and others. And it's how people access God. It's through you and me. We are, let's see, my new GUI is God-Us Interface. God-Us Interface. That is what Paul is talking about in this text. And it is such a privilege and responsibility. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Now, he is saying, pray for me that I may proclaim the gospel clearly, as I should. He's wanting to be a good interface with those who are in his world. In Ephesians, he has the same idea. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Two thoughts stick with me. Paul must have wondered if he was in a good place to share Christ in prison. I think that's why he asked the question, pray for me that doors would come open. Wherever you and I live, probably we have the same kind of feeling when it comes to sharing our faith. You might say, Arden, you just don't know my environment. It's not that open to Christ and sharing Christ. And so I would just simply say, this is why we need to pray for each other. The doors would come open. So that's one thing we could learn from Paul. Another thing he says is to pray for each other that I may communicate it intelligently and fearlessly. Paul? Don't you get this idea of this very strong person that just probably went anywhere? Wasn't afraid of anybody to speak boldly? Well, I think many of us share something with Paul. Pray that I may present it fearlessly, that is, without fear. To present it with fear kind of tells a different story about it. Oh, excuse me. You know, excuse me, I'm not too sure about this. No, he wanted at least the message that he spoke to have the kind of conviction that says, Christ changed my life. You hear that conviction? That is my conviction. Christ changed my life. And I think that was Paul's conviction. Just look at him, this guy that persecuted the church, and how he did a about face and was in a full-on love relationship with God and Jesus Christ. He says also we need to communicate it and communicate the gospel in certain ways. And he says, pray that I may communicate it clearly, pray that I may communicate it with confidence, pray that I may communicate it with grace and wisdom. Colossians 4, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This thing, I think, is true, that truth is meant to bring wholeness to people and healing to people. And it's not to be used to batter them, demean them, or wound them. So how we take God's truth as his interface and understand his truth and communicate it to others, let's see, there's the truth and there's also the process, the manner, the spirit in which we communicate. This truth is meant to heal. We're told in Scripture that the offense of the cross causes some to reject him. They don't like the idea of the cross, that Christ died for them. I understand that. It's difficult. I have to look at my own brokenness. I have to look at my own sin when I look at that. And I have to say, somebody died for me and my brokenness. If there's going to be an offense about the gospel, we'd want it to be about that and not be throwing roadblocks in the way by our own manner, our own demeanor, how we use truth. So it's meant to bring wholeness and healing to people, not to wound and demean. And what he's talking about here is that we need to always have our conversation seasoned with grace. That's important for us. Pray that I may proclaim it boldly. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, he says. Make the most of every opportunity. Well, we're looking for doors. We want to be wise and pray that God would be at work in our lives so that when we have opportunity, the right spirit is presented there. We need to be trusting that God would be at work in our lives so that we have the words to share. This last idea intrigues me. It's the idea of the opportunities that are there for you and me. And this is why I implore you to pray for me. It says, make the most of every opportunity. This morning, I had my eyes open. I could see it. I mean, it was a door that was wide open, and all I had to do was walk in. But sometimes we need to be open to the opportunities as well. It's a very interesting word picture here, making the most of every opportunity. It's kind of a market term. If you went into an ancient market in Paul's day, and you saw something that was very valuable at super low prices, you'd want to buy up the whole thing, because technically you could turn it over, you could flip it, and make a lot of profit. Same kind of picture here, making the most of every opportunity. Buy up those great opportunities that are there in your life. Be open to them. Be open to the Holy Spirit going, say, oh, my heart's gone up a couple of beats here, Lord. Do you really want me to do something? Say something. That's a matter of prayer too. Do you want me to step into this opportunity? Sharing our hope with Christ, how Christ has worked in our own life, and recommending Christ to others. That's a fairly personal, and it's a much simpler thing than feeling like you have to give the whole plan of salvation in one story, in one sitting, or in one conversation, and ask for a conviction. You understand that I'm trying to deal with this idea about evangelism. Again, some of the caricatures that we have, there are people who are gifted to do that, and I love watching them do that. They are so good at sharing Christ's hope. Janet and I were part of a little church down in Belvedere, Kansas, where a man who drove truck and was a bouncer in a bar on the weekends came to Christ. And Christ transformed his life so amazingly. And we all went down to this little church that had been closed up for 20, 30 years in this ranching community and opened it. And Janet and I knew one thing. We were shameless about this. We would promise our friends a chicken dinner if they'd come to church with us, knowing that if they came to dinner with church with us, it might be very likely that when Gary spoke, they'd come to Christ. He was just remarkable as an evangelist. But the rest of us are not like Gary. The rest of us, however, can pray for each other, for opportunities. God would open those opportunities, that we'd have the ability to see those opportunities and then just simply share what Christ is doing for us, to recommend him to others. Let's join in prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for your good work in our lives. You have brought a sense of peace and forgiveness that is beyond our own understanding. Our lives are rich because of your grace. You've brought us into fellowship with each other, people who kneel at your feet and give you thanks for dying for us, Lord Jesus. We give you praise for a new life in you. We thank you for the way that you've poured out blessing after blessing into our lives. Now, about your great passion for loving people beyond our community, we ask for open doors. We ask that you would help us proclaim our hope in you boldly, wisely, our speech seasoned with grace. May you be glorified as we walk with you and are obedient to your call. We ask this in your name. Amen.